Well, hello and a very warm welcome to this week's Sweet Spot, brought to you by the Racing Post in association with Three Super Tips. And we're, of course, joined by the GOAT, the golfing GOAT, Steve Palmer, off the back of a 50-1 winner last week. Steve, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you, Dave. Yeah, delighted to get back to winning ways. I was really excited about the Paul McCartney double potential on Sunday. On Sunday morning, I was singing Let It Be in the style of Paul McCartney, because the Paul McCartney double was massively on, but we mustn't be greedy. Yannick Paul finished second, Matt McCartney won, and we have to be happy with that.
Yes, don't be greedy, as we've spoken before about the deadly sin, Steve. But you did tell the viewers and the punters out there that this is your time of the year, right?
Yeah, I do like October. There's something about the autumn leaves falling and conker seasons around the corner. I go bonkers for conkers. Yeah, I always seem to feel good in autumn. A happy brain is an effective brain.
Indeed. Right, let's look back before we look forward then, shall we, Steve? Right, we'll start with the French Open. Now, big price winner here. A little bit of controversy. Loads of chat on social media about the winner here, Dan Bradbury, the anchor. I say the anchor here, the winner. What are your thoughts?
The anchored putter, yeah. I mean, well, yeah. I don't want to discredit the lad because, he's such a likeable fella, isn't he? You know, really, really good egg. It's so difficult not to be pleased for Dan Bradbury. Reminds me a bit of Michael Smith, the darts player. You know, just a good, solid northern character. So I was delighted to see him win. Yeah. The anchored putter debate is not for me to have. You know, do you think it's anchored? Do you think the putter's anchored?
Listen, there's a little bit of chat in the comments and last week's video. Mark Green says, well done to Dan Bradbury. I see a few social media comments about the anchoring. I just wonder what Steve thought about that, and do we need an independent observer for things like that?
Well, I mean, we have got independent observers, haven't we, for things like that. There are people watching that are in charge of this, and they obviously feel he isn't anchoring it. But it's a grey area, and as I say, he's such a nice fellow. I don't want to discredit his victory. I mean, from a punting perspective, I would have loved him to have been disqualified. I mean, but disqualify him for anchoring the putter, because I was cheesed off with how much luck he was having. Never mind the anchored putter. The amount of luck he had on Sunday was winding me up as a Yannick Paul backer. The 15th hole, absolutely comical. I mean, that was where the luck peaked. Inches away from driving into the water, and then his approach shot nearly went in the water, and then he said he missed it the putt, and it went in for birdie from 15 feet. So yeah, that birdie at 15, he must have just felt indestructible after that. Made a brilliant birdie at 16, and then clung on was on the winning score at that point. So difficult one. Anchored putter, I don't know. Luck, I'm sure, but you need a bit of luck to win in this game. He's a two-time DP World Tour champion now at the age of 25, so he must be doing something right. He's a brilliant ball striker. Putting is his main issue, but he held enough on Sunday to get the job done. Now, pleased for the lad, but I don't want to get bogged down in anchors.
I think he's a proud Yorkshireman as well, Dan Bradbury.
Well, that's it. He's a classic sort of likable northern lad, isn't he? And as I say, he reminds me of Michael Smith, the darts player.
I was just about to say, there was someone in the comments saying, do you think he looks like Michael Smith?
Oh, there's someone in the comments saying that as well, is there? Yes. Yeah, oh, well, there you go. Well, I'm glad I'm not the only person to spot that. Yeah, I don't know whether they're distant cousins or something. we'll have to look into that.
It was a bit of a roller coaster, though, wasn't it, Steve? I think as the leaders were on 14... I say the leaders, I think one of the final groups, there was 11 players tied for the lead. It was absolutely crazy.
Oh, it was an absolute thriller, yeah. And Yannick Paul was playing really well on Sunday. I mean, Friday was the disappointing one for Yannick Paul backers. He had a really sort of flat Friday. He made 15 pars on Friday, didn't hole anything. But his iron play all week, absolutely exceptional. That's why we backed him. You know, the French Open sets up well for accurate iron play, and he was right in the groove with his irons, one shot shy. But yeah, full place return, no regrets. I still think he was the best bet available on that tournament, so not beating myself up one jot.
Yeah, place money 45-1. Takeaways, Olesen was up there as well, Steve, putting like a demon as well. And I had a look. Stroke's game putting, he is number two on the tour this year. Yeah. Can you name number one?
Oh, blimey. No. Go on, tell me who's number one. I'm too tired to even attempt it this morning.
Tristan the Piston
is number one. Oh, well, yeah. They'll both be getting PGA Tour cards for next season, I would have thought. Ollison's putting all his eggs in this basket now, trying to get one of those cards from the Race to Dubai rankings. Tristan the Piston's in great position to get one. So you'll see both of them putting on the PGA Tour next year, I would have thought. I think Sam Bairstow is the one we must give a mention to, though. He was 125 to 1 last week, the same as Bradbury. He's had a great rookie campaign as Sam Bairstow. He's very tempting this week. We've got the Angela Thea Masters this week. We'll come to that. Bairstow's not made the staking plan, but I wouldn't put people off him. He's a really stylish left-hander. We almost had two stylish left-handers winning last week. Bairstow tied second in France, and then Matt McCarthy, who we'll come to on the PGA Tour.
Right. Anything else of note? The only thing I'd like to add is, what a magnificent trophy. Did you see it?
What a magnificent looking trophy you got there, Mr. Gilmore.
Unbelievable. Yeah. It was like this.
Yeah. It's a beauty, isn't it? Yeah. Now, it's a great tournament, isn't it? The French Open. I mean, the DP World Tour, we love the DP World Tour, the European Tour, as we should still be calling it. Some of the tournaments that are produced on there. I mean, you know, you're pleased for Dan Bradbury. I didn't shed a tear on Sunday for Dan Bradbury, but probably because of my Yannick Paul disappointment. But yeah. I wasn't far off. And I mean, Angel Hidalgo the other day, I was shedding tears for, without a financial investment. So I think the DP World Tour always seems to be the sort of tear shedder circuit. You know, I don't shed tears watching LIV Golf. I don't shed tears very often watching the PGA Tour. But the DP World Tour's just got this romance about it, hasn't it? The location last week, it doesn't get more romantic. Was it, you know, Gay Paris? So maybe the combination of Gay Paris and Dan Bradbury, I mean, it was just fantastic, wasn't it? Yeah. Long live the DP World Tour.
Right, he was three figures, Dan Bradbury. You bagged Matt McCarthy at 50 to 1. Before we get into that, Steve, do you reckon in your lifetime you've backed more winners on the European Tour or the PGA Tour?
It's a ruddy good question. I think it's DP World Tour. I remember in my distant Twitter days, someone asked me that, and I needed to do a bit of research to find out. So I think, you know, long time ago, it was definitely DP World Tour, because I was obliged to find out for this fella who wanted to sort of focus his attack. I think it's DP World Tour, but I'd like to think we're smashing them in all over the globe now.
Will we ever see you back on Twitter, Steve?
It's very unlikely. It's very unlikely, Dave.
You're not missing much. It's quite a horrid place, to be fair.
Is it? Do you get a lot of abuse when you tip a losing doggy?
That'd be every day. But yeah, it's pretty toxic out there.
Yeah. I just like the quiet life, Dave, as you know. Yeah, I'd just be doing nothing if I could. But, we need to do a few things. But yeah, that's definitely not my immediate agenda.
Right, well, one thing you did do last week was tip a 50-1 winner. And I'll give a shout out to some of the very, very happy people. I know you rejoice and take great pleasure from people getting involved and backing winners with you, Steve. We've got Josh Rogers, another Steve One, Andy Turner, Frankie Burton, Martin Tate, all aboard the 50-1 winner. Talk us through it.
And did they all stay up till 1:30 a.m.? I mean, that was the main challenge on Sunday night. I was absolutely knackered, just in lying on the sofa with sort of one eye open. And good old Matt McCarthy made it serene. You know, the hour of the day wasn't serene, but Matt McCarthy couldn't have made it easier for us. He was just so in control. He went into Sunday with a two-shot lead and then, you know, never really looked in any trouble. You had a small wobble on the 12th hole. He three-putted the 12th hole, but two holes later, on the 14th, he drove the green with a 3-wood, a par 4, made an eagle on a par 4, tapping eagle on the par 4. That 3-wood was one of the best shots I've seen this season. So even in my sort of zombified state on the sofa, I managed to raise an arm and fist pump that shot, because that was exhilarating. I'm so glad I was there to witness that. So, yeah, Matt McCarthy, you know, he's so comfortable in that part of America. You know, he loves desert golf. He's had so much success in that region. And, you know, he's just been winning trophies for fun. He's won four trophies now in the space of 3 months, because his three Korn Ferry Tour wins. His first one was in August. So it's been a real blast of success. And, he can't believe it. You know, you look at his interview after, he can't believe what's happened. It's all happened so quickly for him. And, you know, he's a sort of late bloomer, Dave. You know, I love a late bloomer.
How old is he?
he's 26, but in his college days, he wasn't that successful. He wasn't a prolific winner in his college days. He's always been a tidy player, but I think he's added a bit of length recently. He spoke about that in his media conference. He started eating things designed to make him stronger. I'm not entirely sure what that means. Maybe meat. Spinach and mead. So he started eating things that have made him a bit stronger. So he's added a bit of length, and that's been the difference, because he was a short hitter at college. He's always been a short hitter. He's got like a smooth swing. Yeah, he's a really elegant left-hander. Now he looks like the complete package now. And I love the way he puts. I mean, his putting routine is like no nonsense. You know, you see so many people these days doing all this fannying around, don't you, on the greens. But I love his approach to putting. Like McCarty just lines it up, and then Bush, like, it's all so quick and so natural, and he putted superbly last week. So I think if you take the nonsense out of putting, you'll putt more effectively, and Matt McCarty, a good example of that. So yeah, delighted for the lad, delighted for us, and just still can't get Yannick Paul out of my head, because the Paul McCarty double would have been delightful.
Would you rather see Matt McCarty or Keegan Bradley iron up a 10-footer?
Yes. Yeah, they're the contrasting two. Yeah. Keegan Bradley can take 10 years to line up a 10-footer, whereas Matt McCarty just, smooth as silk. We've got to keep an eye on this fella. He's done the business last week. So tempting to, keep some of the chips on the table this week. But I don't know. I think he'll have a bit of mental letdown from last week, because we're in the desert again this week, Dave. He's definitely has to be shortlisted this week, but there's just others I prefer.
I'll refer to the big map I've got up on the wall we get to that. Finally then, so any other takeaways, and was you able to get to sleep after banging a 51 winner at what, 2 a.m?
yeah, I got to sleep. I got an excellent new book, actually. I read a few chapters of this book I'm reading about breathing. Breathing is a massively underrated thing that humans do. You sort of assume that your body does it automatically and you don't need to help yourself. But I'm reading this absolutely groundbreaking book about breathing, which explains how nasal breathing is so much better for you than mouth breathing. Did you know that, Dave?
What's the book called?
I think it's called Breathe, actually. Okay. I'm not sure.
Very original name.
I think it's called that. I'll report back next week if that's not correct. Okay. But nasal breathing is fantastic for you, and mouth breathing is actually bad for you. So my advice to you, Dave, is to shut up. Shut your mouth. All right, because that will help you.
I think my missus must have read that book as well, by the sounds of it.
Honestly, this is good, solid advice. That'll help you in future. So, I read a bit of that and learnt more about nasal breathing, and then I went to bed. But I was fine. I slept like a baby. As for takes from last week, I just want to say one thing about Michael Thorbjørnsson, because I want to warn punters what happened last week to Michael Thorbjørnsson, because they'll see him in the list this week and they'll think, oh, blimey, Steve really fancied him last week. What's going on? But Michael Thorbjørnsson withdrew during round two last week with a knee injury. He made a solid start. He shot 67 on Thursday. And then he lasted only 8 holes of round two before withdrawing with a knee injury. So he's hard to bat this week. I do think the fella's got loads of talent, but I don't think you can back him for the Shriners with those injury concerns.
Right, we'll get to that. We are off to the Andalusia Masters. First, Steve, tell us about the track before we dive into the field.
Yes, Real Club de Golf Sota Grande, San Roque, Andalucía, España, 7,101 yards, par 72, 4 par 5s. It took over as Andalucía Masters venue last year. Valderrama, of course, sensationally defected to LIV Golf. Real Club de Golf, an open, exposed, undulating layout. It features lots of man-made lakes. It's got a feel of a Florida course, this one. The green's pretty pacey, well-guarded, accurate approach play essential. Thursday could be a tricky day. Lots of breeze in the forecast. Expect better scoring on Friday, Saturday and Sunday. We've got a field of 126 going to post.
Give us a key attribute, Steve, for this track.
I think accurate iron play is the key to success on this track. Quite generous off the tee, but gets harder from there.
Right, let's have a look at the show then. 3-1, John Rahm, generally 11-4. Rasmus Højgaard, 18s. David Puig, 22s. Thorbjørn Olesen, 22s. Matt Wallace, a pony, 25-1, alongside Tristan, the Piston Lawrence. And it's 30-1, bar the rest, including Tom McKibben. Steve, who are we going for?
Number one selection?
Yes.
Rasmus Højgaard. 16-1 generally, easy to back at 16-1. A five-time DP World Tour champion at the age of 23. Very easy for us to get blasé about the achievements and talent of the Højgaard twins, but both incredible golfing geniuses. Genii, is that the plural of genius? We'll go with that. Rasmus has won five times. Nikolai has won three times. You're never quite sure who is the better player, are you? I've been backing both of them from day one. I think this week looks ideal for siding with Rasmus. I want to take on the short price favourite. We'll get to him later. Rasmus, well capable of beating John Rahm and the rest of the field this week. Rasmus saw off Rory McIlroy in the Irish Open a month ago. Can he do likewise to Rahm in Spain, upset the local hero? He started this season superbly, did Rasmus. Then he had a little mid-season wobble, had some fitness issues, few wrist problems. Now, looking magnificent again. Yeah, plenty of eye-catching performances around that win in Ireland. Last week, tied for 13th in the French Open, four under-par rounds, nothing worse than a bogey on his scorecard, and he had a cold putter for the whole weekend in Paris. Swinging superbly. Bit more luck on the greens this week, and I think he's a surefire contender. He tied for 26th in the Andalusia Masters last year, so he's had a good look at the course. John Rahm hasn't.
Okay, good start. I was trying to, I was focusing on my nasal breathing there while I was listening
to you. Good lad, good lad.
Yeah. Zoning in. It's right, very I didn't important. Ask you how many you're putting up for this event.
Four!
Okay.
Just on the nasal breathing, in caveman times, they had much bigger noses, you see, because they had small brains. So they're all going around in caveman times going, ooga, booga, ooga, booga, ooga, booga. And, you know, we look back and laugh at them, but they were breathing superbly. They had massive noses because there's loads of room. But as man has evolved, the brain has got bigger and there's no room for a nose. Well, you got quite a small nose, haven't you? Noses are getting smaller. Noses are getting smaller and smaller every generation because our brains are getting bigger with all this rubbish filling our brains. It's a fascinating topic, this, but this is not what people have come for, I guess.
Not really, no, but I like it. It's interesting. Noses are getting smaller. There you go. That's what you've come to the sweet spot for. How big is your nose? Put it in the comments below. Right, we've got three more to go then. Who else is on the team this week, Steve?
Yeah, if you've got a big nose, you are blessed. The next best is Thorbjørn Olesen. 20-1, Thorbjørn Thunderbear Olesen. I think we're going to get a Danish 1-2 on Sunday, Dave. Olesen tied for second in Paris on Sunday. He carded four rounds in the 60s last week. He was second for greens in regulation on Saturday. He was fourth for greens in regulation on Sunday. His swing is in mint condition. Typically one of the best putters in the business, as you mentioned. What's not to like about Thorbjørn Olesen this week? He finished ninth in last year's Andalusia Masters at this course, despite opening with a 73. So as soon as he adjusted to the layout, he was sensational. He was 12th in the Dunhill Links the week before last. He won the team competition with Dermot Desmond. He was 12th in the Irish Open a month ago. So Olesen's really stepped up a gear in recent weeks. I think a ninth DP World Tour title is entirely feasible on Sunday. So, yeah, Battle of the Danes.
I'm all over Olesen this one. We spoke, didn't we, a couple of weeks ago about me questioning maybe had he not quite achieved what he could have done given his ability. Yeah. And you rubbished that, given us his CV. But he looks in good nick, doesn't he? And I mentioned how well he's been putting. Obviously, you put him up in the Alfred Dunhill when he won the team event, which is no good to us. But he's clearly in good nick.
Yeah, and his putting stroke, as you say, is just pure silk, isn't it? It's just silky smooth. And every time he lines up a putt, he looks so good over the putter. So, and his swing can be a bit up and down, a bit erratic, but it's right in the groove now. You know, he is the complete package for this tournament. Really exciting times because Rahm obviously dominating the betting. We're getting juicy prices about massively informed world-class players here.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned he's the full package. I mean, the only other thing to maybe question is how big is his nose?
Well, this is it. I think it's quite big, actually. I think he breathes quite well. He's got a beautiful face, isn't he?
he's so, a good-looking lad, to be fair.
He's a good-looking lad. Maybe he's got a slightly smaller brain and he's got good breathing. He can get the oxygen in. So, yes, another reason to back him. He's getting plenty of oxygen in to that beautiful Danish face.
Okay, we need to get this show back on track, I think. Right, third selection then, Steve. Right, who else are we going for?
Tom McKibben. Sweet spot is always on track when Tom McKibben comes into play. 28-1. He's got all the tools to rip this course to shreds this week. We've got four par fives, but we must also mention we've got three short par fours, which the long drivers can get very close to. A strong driver like McKibben can set up so many birdie chances around this track. My feelings on this lad are well known. I think this will be his last season as a DP World Tour full-time player. He'll get a PGA Tour card from the Race to Dubai rankings and be away and gone. Victory in Spain this week essentially wraps that up. He's been rock solid this season. Highlights include fourth place in the Qatar Masters, sixth in the KLM Open, a playoff defeat in the Italian Open when we were on him. More recently, he's finished 10th in the BMW PGA. Last week, 27th in France. You know, decent effort when you consider he missed the cut on his French Open debut last year. McKibben closed with a 64 on Sunday. He was 8 under par for his final 15 holes, and he'd be absolutely thrilled with how well he putted in the final round of the French Open. He was holing everything, and putting has been a bugbear for Tom this year at times, but you know, he can take great confidence from Sunday's round. You know, maybe a second DP World Tour title is coming for the 21-year-old Northern Irishman. He's got a look at the course already. He finished 34th last year, closed with a 69.
Yeah, I was just looking. Top price, 30-1. Tom McKibben, you happy with that, Steve?
I'm delighted with that. Yeah, I'm delighted with that. He's got so much potential. He's just getting better and better and better. Yeah, he's the main threat to the Danes.
Okay, right. One more then for this event. Who you got?
Gavin Green. 66-1, Gavin Green. I'm giving the green light to Green supporters. It's go time for Gavin. So I got to get my breath back. through the nose. Yeah, 66-1 is a wrong price, dare I suggest. I know these bookmakers like to think they get everything right, but I think that it's just a wrong price because it's based on the bare form figures, but he's playing much better than the bare form figures suggest. He missed the cut by a shot at Wentworth, but played brilliantly in round two. He missed the cut by a shot in the Spanish Open. And then last week, you know, his iron play was absolutely magnificent last week. He dropped only two shots in the entire tournament. So 72 holes, 70 of the 72 holes at par or better. And most of that was down to like laser-like iron play. You can be so excited. He finished 13th in the French Open last week with a putter that was as cold as Lapland, Dave. You know, he holed absolutely nothing. He was setting up all these chances and he holed nothing. He has to take so many positives from that tee to green performance. And it's not like he's a bad putter. I mean, he was the third best putter on the DP World Tour last season. He normally a very effective putter. So, I think Green is by far the best outsider. He finished 56th in last year's Andalusia Masters, but he's in dire form. This time he's arriving in great ball striking nick.
Very tidy player. I like watching him play. Very, very tidy.
Yeah, the time has come. Yeah, a maiden DP World Tour title is entirely feasible for Green. So, yeah, four-pronged attack and, I really fancy him.
Nice. Okay, right. Well, let's talk John Rahm then, shall we? Fourth event, the quota for the card again. Is this what we're looking at here?
Well, this is it. I mean, why is he here? I mean, how can you get excited by 11-4? He didn't play in last year's Andalusia Masters. Most of the players just behind him in the betting this week have got course experience. He was humbled by Angel Hidalgo in that Spanish Open. We mentioned how the crowd were all on Hidalgo's side. You know, Rahm played rubbish in the playoff. It was a humbling experience for John Rahm. His first daughter arrived just before that Spanish Open. So last week was the first full week off he's had since the birth of his daughter. So I think he would have completely switched off from golf last week. He wouldn't have touched a club. He would have completely zoned out. It'd be a late arrival, I would imagine, in Andalusia this week. I just question his focus. And you've got a very windy first day this week. So you're going to have to apply yourself properly in round one. I just wonder whether Rahm's, you know, going to be away with the fairies. You know, going through the motions, as you say, to complete his quota of DP World Tour events to be eligible for Ryder Cup qualification. So we all know why he's here. There's only one reason why he's here is that Ryder Cup target. Can you play 11-4 about a player with questionable motivation? I don't think you can. Well, you obviously can, but I don't think you should.
Week off. Do you think John Rahm's the sort of dad that would kind of step in and say, listen, I've got the night feed covered this week?
I think he would have done. I think he would have got heavily involved last week, because basically as soon as Kelly Cahill had the baby, he was off, wasn't he? He was off playing Spanish Open. Then he was on Daniel Links. He hasn't really seen his new baby girl, Amelia, or whatever her name is. Starts with an A. I can't quite remember. It's a funny name I'd never heard before. So he's almost contractually obliged to have downed tools last week and got heavily involved in whatever's required. And I just don't see him returning with, you know, much fire in his belly for this tournament. It's not the Spanish Open, is it? With the Spanish Open, he has motivation.
Very short price. Very short.
He's chasing history in the Spanish Open. He's trying to beat Terry Balathiroth. But this is just an Andalusia Masters, which means very little to him, I would suggest.
Right, any other players of interest? They give us a couple of Spaniards, maybe, that might go well.
Well, David Puig is a much more tempting Spaniard. Didn't play in last year's Andalusia Masters, and the price is just too much. I think the bookies have caught up to the quality of David Puig. So, yeah, he would be a heartbreaking one for me. And Victor Perez was the only other one. He's obviously not a Spaniard, he's French. But I think Victor Perez is a very solid top 10 bet. And David Puig is difficult to get away from. But, yeah, I'm happy with my four-pronged attack, Dave.
Okay, four to take on the field with there, including being against the jolly John Rahm. Right, we're off to the Shriners. Children's Open. Before we get into it, Steve, can you remember who you tipped for this event last year?
Oh, blimey. I can't remember what I had for breakfast this morning, Dave. Tom Kim, actually. Was it Tom Kim?
4 points each way. Tom Kim, 12-1, back of the net. So, October is your... Your time. October is your time. Right, talk to us about
it. I should have actually tried there, shouldn't I, Dave, rather than just give up straight away with my silly joke. But yeah. Tom Kim was great last year, and Tom Kim was great in this the year before. He's going for the three-peat this week. We'll come on to Tom Kim. He won't be carrying our money this week. But yeah, the course, did you say, Dave? The course?
Yep.
TPC Summerlin, Las Vegas, Nevada. So we're off to Vegas, baby. I'm sure you've been to Vegas in your younger years. I've still never been. Have you been to Vegas?
Once or twice, yeah.
Once or twice. Yeah, I've never been, but I will go at some stage. But yeah, we're in Vegas, 7,255 yards, par 71, three par fives. So we're in the desert for a second consecutive week on the PGA Tour. Summerlin has been part of this event since 1992. But the tournament used to be played over several different courses. It was a five-round event until 2004. But from 2008 onwards, it's been a four-rounder at Summerlin, exclusively at Summerlin. So we've got loads of course form to go through. It's a relatively easy assignment for tour professionals. Only three times has the winning score been worse than 20 under par in those events at Summerlin since 2008. So we got some wind in the forecast this week. First 2 days are windy, and the last two are calm. So, you see the scoring get better at the weekend. We've got a field of 1-3-2. 1-3-2 going to post.
Same question as always, Steve. The key attribute here at this track.
Key attribute, yeah. I mean, finding greens and regulation, holding putts. I mean, there's two ways to skin this cat. But it's low-scoring event. So I'm always loath to back, you know, you need to putt well to win a low-scoring event unless you're... Yeah, you're knocking it right next to the flagstick. But
We're not looking for bombers this week, no?
We're looking for good scrambling stats. I mean, basically, the last three winners of this have been South Koreans that have been scrambling well. Tom Kim has been two of them, and Sung Jae-im the year before. If you find a good scrambling Korean, you're laughing your socks off.
Right, the market then. Tom Kim, 12-1. Taylor Pendrith, 25s. Davis Thompson, 28s. Kurt Kitayama, 30s. Bo Hostler, 33s. And his 33 others as well. Wide open, this one. Nice, wide open market here. We're taking on the jolly. You've said that already. So how many in the team? And are we looking at some big, juicy prices?
We've got three in the team. One of the market principals, and then two sort of mid-range.
Lovely. Main selection then is?
Davis Thompson, 28-1. Davis Thompson, who was a hero for us in the John Deere Classic in July, you might remember. He won his maiden PGA Tour title by 4 shots, rounds of 62 and 64 over the weekend. That was the performance of a 25-year-old who had come of age. This is a former world number one amateur, realizing his potential as a professional. He won on the Korn Ferry Tour in 2022, and then this summer just clicked into top gear on the PGA Tour. He was second in the Myrtle Beach Classic in May, ninth in the US Open in the middle of June, second in the Rocket Mortgage Classic at the end of June, and then dominant in that John Deere Classic. He found Lynx Golf difficult to adjust to thereafter. He struggled in the Scottish Open and the Open Championship. But when he returned to the States, he was 12th in the Wyndham Championship, made it through the first two legs of the FedEx Cup playoffs, and he's had his feet up since the BMW Championship at the end of August. So nicely rested, raring to go. Might be a bit rusty in round one, but I think freshness is the more significant factor here. I expect him to go bananas over the weekend. He's a birdie machine. He can go extremely low. 7 of his 8 rounds in the Shriners have been in the 60s. Form figures of 12.35. So, yeah, we've got a class act here and a poor grade.
Marvellous. 28-1, Davis Thompson. Next best then, Steve. Bigger price?
Cam Davis. 40-1 Cam Davis, who, like Thompson, has taken some time off to recharge the batteries. Both of them were last seen in the BMW Championship at the end of August. Davis finished 5th in that, closed with a 66. It wasn't quite enough to get him to East Lake for the Tour Championship. Then he was a hugely controversial omission from the Internationals President's Cup lineup. You know, it's almost impossible to justify leaving him out, really. You know, Mike Weir opted for Canadians. One of the Canadians he picked was 15th in the automatic standings. And Davis was 8th in the automatic standings. So it was an almighty snub for Cam Davis. Determination should come from that snub. If you get snubbed, Dave, what's your immediate reaction to a snub? Have you ever been snubbed?
Well, once or twice. I usually just go and look for another girl. You know, that's often the snubbing.
Well, that's it. But you're determined, aren't you? You're determined to find another girl. And I think Davis is going to come back determined. This is a world-class player we're talking about here, a two-time PGA Tour champion. He turns 30 in February. He carded rounds of 67, 67, 67, 66 for 7th place in last year's Shriners. He's always made the cut in this event, and last year he really got to grips with Summerlin. He only lost a tournament by 3 shots, so I think he's going to go close again. And that forecast wind early on in this tournament just adds to Davis's chance. Yeah, he's very comfortable in the wind. Magnificent ball striker.
And you love him, don't you?
Yeah, I love him. I love him. Yeah. Yeah, I'm prepared to say that.
A lot of man love there. Right, we've got one more selection then, Steve. Who is it?
Matty Schmid. 50-1, Matty Schmid. A 26-year-old who appears to be approaching the peak of his powers. We had a 26-year-old win last week. Are we going to get another one this week? Entirely feasible. He was an excellent amateur, was Matty Schmid. Started contending for DP World Tour titles in 2021. Started getting PGA Tour starts at the end of 2022. Finished 26th on his Shriners debut at the end of last year. Closed with a Sunday 63. So he'd really got handle on TPC Summerlin by Sunday last year. Then he was 3rd in the Bermuda Championship. This year, he's really clicked into gear in the spring with a series of solid performances on the PGA Tour in the spring. And recently, he's on a real run of solid golf. He's just not missing cuts anymore. He's played Sunday golf in his last 9 tournaments. Those rough edges appear to have fallen off Matty Schmid. He was a raw talent when he came onto the circuit, but he's getting a more well-rounded player now. And his last 2 starts, particularly encouraging. He was 16th in the Sanderson Farms Championship, closing rounds there of 66, 67, 68. Then he was 5th last week in the Black Desert Championship, closing rounds of 67, 67, 62. He was sensational on Sunday. Matt McCarty getting the headlines. Matty Schmid quietly excelling on that course last week. He carded an eagle and 7 birdies on Sunday. No drop shots. His driving was amazing. More importantly, Dave, his putting was amazing. You know, putting can be a bugbear for for Matty Schmidt, but he's found a new technique that's working. You've got the old broom handle putter purring in Utah. I see the fiery German making an impact in the Shriners.
No, there's nothing wrong with having a fiery German on side, that's for sure. Right, any other players of note, Steve? Only put up three here. It's a very, very competitive field. I'm looking down some players at big prices. Maverick McNeely, 50-1 that he put up in recent weeks. Anyone else?
Yeah, Maverick McNeely. I mean, he's a Las Vegas man. He lives in Las Vegas. His coach is in Las Vegas. You know, Butch Harmon might get him fired up for this one, but he's just difficult to trust. His last couple of performances have been so poor. McNeely difficult to trust, but I can see him figuring. But again, it's another favourite that makes the market that I don't particularly fancy, because Tom Kim getting all the attention this week. He's gunning for a hat-trick of Shriners titles. He's won the last two editions impressively. You might remember his duel with Patrick Cantlay. We were on Cantlay that year, if I remember rightly, and Kim edged Cantlay. He knows how to get the job done on this track. But Joe Skovran was his caddy for both of those previous victories in the Shriners. Tom Kim has not won a golf tournament since Joe Skovran left for Ludwig Aubert. Do you remember at the end of last year, Skovran sensationally ditched Tom Kim to go and work for Ludwig Aubert? And Tom
Good
Kim,
move. I think it's a fair move as well.
Oh yeah, it's a fair move. It's a fair move. They're all, the players are mercenaries, and the caddies probably even more so. And he knows that Ludwig Aubert is a cash cow. We're not going to criticise Joe Skovran, but we must be aware that Tom Kim has been a lot more fragile since he lost Skovran. And he had a very mixed President's Cup, didn't he, Tom Kim? I think that was a humbling experience for him, because there was a lot of controversy during that tournament. He was, he was sort of trying to wind up the Americans a little bit, and it didn't come off. And Scottie Scheffler was giving it large back to him. And then Tom Kim made some comments in the media conference afterwards about how Americans were cursing at him, but he didn't name names, and there was no evidence of this cursing going on. So a lot of the Americans were quite angry about Tom Kim's comments and behaviour. And obviously the internationals got walloped as well. So I don't think the President's Cup was useful for Kim's increasingly fragile mental state. And this is his first start since. So short prices, can't have them.
Yeah, interesting move, making yourself public enemy number one in a country in which you play golf 40 weeks of the year. That's not a good move, is it?
No. Tom Kim, not a popular chat with the Americans. But, I mean, he probably was getting a few little jibes here and there. But if you're going to give it, you've got to be prepared to take it, haven't you? And Tom Kim and Siwoo Kim were giving it all the big dances around the greens and whatnot. And if a couple of Americans got a bit chopsy about that, then it was probably to be expected. I think Wyndham Clark is the most likely candidate to have cursed Tom Kim, because I saw Wyndham Clark was some pretty horrible comments from him after one of the matches. But who knows? But yeah, I don't think Tom Kim is in a great frame of mind for his Shriners hat trick bid.
Okay, well, we're taking on the two jollies this week. Anyway, just give us a roundup overview of the selections this week, Steve.
Andalusia Masters, Rasmus Højgaard, Thorbjørn Thunderbear Olesen, Tom McKibben, and Gavin Green. You say the name of the tournament. I'm going to encourage you to do this. This has to be the way it goes.
Right, the Shriners.
The Shriners Children's Open. Davis Thompson. Cam Davis. He used to be called Cameron, but he prefers being called Cam now, and I'm happy to call him Cam. And Matty Schmidt.
You'd call him anything he wants to be called, wouldn't you? You'd call him anything.
Within reason, Dave. Within reason.
Right, 4x3. There we go. 12 each way doubles if you want to get involved and follow Steve. Of course, you're here on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Loads going on as ever. We've got the assist on Thursdays, off the leash on Wednesdays for the Greyhound fans out there. Also, coming up this week as well, Sunday, 6 p.m, the big jump off. Big fan of the jump, Steve?
Love a jump. Yeah, I love seeing a horsey jumper, a fence.
Have you got a national hunt horse for us to follow?
Well, I've heard Florida Pearl is no longer in training, so I'm going to have to find a new one. Florida Pearl was always my favourite, but I'll let you know next week who's my horse to follow.
Okay, well, tune in on Sunday to find out who the real judges over the jumps fancy. We've got Dave Jennings, I think, steering the ship. Paul Keeley, Tom Segal, Johnny Danan as well. All the usual faces, all the shrewdies are on that show. The pullout will be on Monday as well. So that is your starting point for the National Hunt flat season, jump season here on Racing Post. The big jump off. Let us know in the comments below how you got on last week, who your horses are to follow over the jumps. Have you got a big nose? Anything? Let us know in the comments below. We read them all. Hopefully everyone followed in Steve last week. Genesis Championship, Zozo Championship next week as well, Steve. Anything further to add?
Can they send pictures in of their noses on that comment section? Can you email noses to us? Find a way. Whoever's got the biggest nose, we'll take a picture of it and put it on the show next week, yeah? Because I'm jealous of people with big noses. From what I'm reading, you are going to live long and prosper if you've got a big nose. I'm desperate for my nose to get bigger. But then I suppose
that means we'll leave that with you, Steve. Get them into Steve. Find Steve's email.
Yeah,
get them into Steve.
Yeah, we'll put them on next week's show.
Pictures in the comments.
We can find a way to do this, can't we? Yeah, send us pictures of your nose. If you've got a particularly big nose, then you should be proud of it and happy with it. And we want to see it.
Okay, right. On that note, we'll see you next time. Gamble responsibly. Remember to enjoy the golf. And we'll see you next time next week.